Welcome to The Atypical Leader with Rick Brennan, where we talk about harnessing what makes you unique
and maybe even a little odd,
while at the same time dismantling the notion that you have to be a certain type of person or act a certain way to be an effective leader.
You're definitely a leader, not a follower.
I like the sound of this.
It's time for us atypical leaders to come out of the shadows and learn to be proud and confident in what makes us different.
I'm proud of who I am.
I'm proud of who I am.
Atypical Leader starts now.
So you think I have a red nose?
Yeah, I feel like I'm on the road to hell.
The road to hell. Why do you say that? Are you having a rough day?
Some days.
Yeah, what's going on with today? What's so bad about today?
Oh, nothing. I had a good walk. I'm a little tired. I just did an hour and a half walk.
So, did you want to talk about sick kids? We had a great presentation with them the other day.
Yeah, I was really happy with it.
Oh, yeah?
Very, very pleased with it.
Yeah, it was nice of them to, for those who don't know, we were invited to do a presentation to the Sick Kids Foundation in Toronto, which we were did last week, I guess. And when we did it virtually over the web to their staff, which went very, very well.
There's about, what, 200 people there?
Yeah, something like that. The comments, I mean, yeah. Judy, I was kind of on the screen doing the speech, so I couldn't see all the comments, but I think that you could see the comments coming in.
Yeah, lots of really good comments. They actually, I mean, to back it up a bit, they actually got in touch with us because they had had requests from their people about how to get more attention on neurodiverse, atypicals, and also introverts versus extroverts. So that's what you did, and you did a bang-up job.
Yeah, it was good. It was very good. I think we gave them a new sense of that. And one thing with our presentation, and good for them, is that, we kind of challenged the system a little bit, that, testing and the way executives think, the way that hiring is done, all of those sorts of things have to evolve if you really want to capture the talents of the neurodiverse community. And in particular, as atypicals, more as mid to high functioning kind of neurodiverse.
Yeah, and the part I really liked too was that you, at the end, you went into, what do you do if you're the boss? What do you do if you're the colleague? That was really interesting. What do you do if you're the atypical? So that was really good, too. And they were really happy. The comments were great. Lots of hearts were sent up.
Oh, wow. Isn't that nice? No, that's great. It's interesting, though, that as, and I've done this, it's kind of the same presentation, maybe not as in-depth, a few months ago at the St. John Executive Club in St. John, New Brunswick. And the comments there were good as well. But the one thing that both groups asked about, there seems to be a great interest in understanding the brain's plate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is. Yeah, it's a very complex, but yet simple, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think everybody kind of relates to it. So I thought that, that might be a good subject to talk about today.
Well, then let's do that.
Seems to be such interest in that. And maybe the first thing I would do is, I know we've talked about it before, but let me go back and explain what the brain's plate is. So when I was in my 30s, I went and got tested and was diagnosed with cognitive dysfunction and dyslexia. Because what was happening to me in my job was, there were certain, I'm in retail, and of course, percentages and doing markups and all that, it's very, it's a day-to-day activity. But there were some days when I couldn't do those simple things. I mean, I've done this thousands of times before, but on a busy Thursday, my brain would go blank, and I just couldn't do it. Some days I couldn't spell the word that. I mean, it was ridiculous. I'm doing well in my career. I don't understand it. What's going on with me? Am I stupid? What's wrong with me? So anyways, I went and got tested, and they put me through a battery of tests that showed that I had 17% cognitive functioning, so 17% out of normal. And as the doctor explained, the psychologist explained, let me explain to you why you can't remember things on those busy Thursdays. It's because your brain's plate is full. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, picture this. It's like a plate of food. And, you went through the buffet and you filled up your plate, and there's just not another room for any piece of food to go on that plate. She says, that's your brain. Be it information, be it stress, your brain's plate gets full. And when your brain's plate is full, because it's a busy Thursday, you can't put any more information on there. You can't process information. So when that happens, you go to do that calculation and your brain just won't function like it normally does because the brain's plate is full. And what you have to do is remove things from the brain's plate.
And how do you do that?
Well, I mean, first of all, you've heard these comments, Judy. I mean, have you ever had, you know, felt that way or know of other people who've dealt with those type of things?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have all the time. My brain gets overloaded and it's like I short circuit. I just can't do anything. You know, I can't concentrate. I can't understand what's in front of me. Never looked at it as a brain's plate, but I think that's what you're talking about, definitely.
Yeah, that's what I think has been drawing all the questions about it, because I think people can finally understand. Okay, well, yeah, because we all have that issue. And I think, be you typical or atypical or neurodiverse or not, I think we all get that when we're busy, 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 and we just can't function as well. And when you're neurodiverse, that goes to a whole other level of really a shutdown of the brain sometimes.
Some days you can do two or three things at once, and then other days you're lucky to get one done.
Right. And I don't know. I always say that stress sits on the brain's plate. Now, I don't know if stress sits on the brain's plate or it just impacts the way how quickly the processing of information happens. Either way, I think that's an easier way to look at it, is that be it information, be it tasks, be it stress, it clogs up that brain's plate and brings it to a standstill. So what do you do about it?
Oh, what do you do?
Well, the first thing was just understanding that it existed. And, you know, and her explanation was, so you got to understand, Rick, this is just symptomatic of your condition. There, it doesn't mean that you're smart or stupid. It's just that you have problems processing information when that brain's plate gets full. So the greatest...
Okay, just one second, though. I want to go back to the stress thing. Is the stress on the brain plate, or is the stress caused because the brain plate's full?
Oh, no. Probably both. But initially, it's a busy day. It's a stressful day. Things going on. It could be that, oh my God, I can't process information. So that does drive my stress level. And you're absolutely right. It's just all of it's going out of that brain plate. All of it is causing me the inability to process information.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So it's probably a combination of this. So what do you do? How do you help yourself? Well, there's no doubt that the best way to help yourself is, for me, easiest and simplest tool has been a friggin' pen and a paper and a perpetual list. I know it sounds crazy, eh? And what happens for me, and I think it would happen for most people, is when I take things and I write it on that piece of paper. So I don't know. Go buy Judy a cake.
I know.
Chocolate. Go buy Judy a chocolate cake. Now I don't have to think about that anymore, because I know my brain is saying, taken care of, checkbox, you can't forget, it's on your list. If it says, okay, finish that project. Tuesday, here's the three things you need, and I write it on my list, that now is gone off my brain's plate. And I do and I do and I do. Then everything I can say, if it's pick up the dry cleaning, if it's buy pens at the stationery store, it's whatever it is, it goes on my brain's plate or goes on my list, which frees up that space in the brain space. For me, that's done wonders. And it certainly helped with my OCD. Or my rumination at night when I can't sleep, I put things on that list because it's a perpetual list. It's going. I mean, when I finish it, I scratch it off and I keep writing and I keep going and it just never stops. Things get eliminated and things get added.
Okay. And that doesn't fill your brain plate up again when you look at your list and go, oh, I got this to do and this to do and this to do and this to do?
It's on the list.
But it doesn't fill your brain.
What's to fill up? It's on the list. That's the whole point. I've removed it. Think of physically, I'm grabbing that piece of chicken off my plate and I'm putting it on the table. I've removed it. It's on the list. It's taken care of.
When you go back to the list, you pick that chicken back up and put it in your brain again?
No, I might pick up that piece of chicken and I will eat it. I will take care of that task. Then I scratch it off my list. Then I go to the next thing. I mean, I don't know how good this chicken analogy is going to work. People are going to think we're crazy.
Perfect sense, because you've taken it off your brain plate and you've moved it over there, and then when you go to it, ready to pick it up and eat it.
And I do it and I complete it. Now, if it's something that I couldn't complete in one shot, I add it back to my list. But it's probably I'll go phase two. You know, here's three other things I need to do concerning that subject. But it's always that list, always going. And I was talking about rumination. It's helped me so much with my sleep, is that knowing that that thing's on the list, and we've talked about this before, I'll get up at night and write things on those lists. And once I know it's on the list and I know I can't forget, boom, it's gone. So I think there is an attachment to stress, because it's probably the stress of forgetting, you know, that really has me going. So what are other things, you know, and one thing I've learned over a lifetime, and I certainly didn't know this when I was younger, when I was even having more of these issues, is probably why I was having more of these issues, is what I eat, what I drink, what I smoke, all those sorts of things and the impact they have on my body has a tremendous impact on my brain.
Right.
Okay.
That makes sense to me.
And especially hungover. I mean, I spent a lot of days hungover and I can guarantee you I didn't function as well as I did when I was, you know, feeling good,
right,
in shape, active, those type of things. So it's things like that. How we live impacts our body and our body impacts our mind.
So, but how would that affect your brain plate? If you're saying it affects your body, so how is that affecting the brain plate?
Well, it affects the brain. I said that what you eat affects the brain.
Okay,
the brain's plate is what's sitting. If you want to say that the brain, let's call the brain's plate as sort of the door to get into the full fathom of the brain. So when that brain's plate is clogged with whatever it is, stress or information, you're not capable of using your so the brain's plate is the working brain. So when it's clogged, nothing's happening. So it's just like, okay, so I move things off to my list. I'm feeling good. My body feels good. That now makes my brain function much better. Hungover is a good example, is that things aren't firing. You know what I mean? Right. Things aren't firing. It's hard for me. It's harder for me to process information, to have energy. My inability to think clearly because I've got other things happening in my body doesn't enable my brain to work at its full capacity. Another thing I would suggest is, I mean, getting things off your mind by talking to people. You know,
right.
We have friends, yeah. We have our tribe sitting and talking. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what concerns me. You know, here's what I've been feeling about this. I don't know how to do this. How can I go about that? Because again, I know if I have uncertainty in my mind, I go back and I'm just thinking, how do I do this? How do I do that? How do I solve these problems? And it again impacts my sleep. And then again, sleep is part of what we talk about, which you eat, drink, and smoke. Also, I think the amount of sleep that you get has a tremendous impact on how your brain will function and how easy it is for you to clear off the brain's plate.
Right. I agree, definitely. And I agree with you, talking to someone does help take it off because, you know, you've discussed it, you've worked it out, poof, it's gone.
Yeah, it's certainly, it's almost like delegation. You know, I really did become a master of delegation. people might argue about certain skills I have, but I don't think anyone's going to argue about delegation. I can delegate. And by delegating, again, I remove those tasks off of my brain's plate. I gave them to someone else. Now, I created a new task, which is follow up, but then I developed a system of how to manage delegation, which made it very easy. So it was something that came natural to me.
What was the system?
Well, I can't describe the system. It's just, you know, it's talking to people on a regular basis. It's having meetings every so often. It's, you know, that sort of thing. But always, maybe we should talk about it. So delegation, what was my system for delegation? Making sure, first of all, as we've talked 1,000 times, are we clear? Is it simple? Do you know what you need to do? Do you know what you're accountable for? Blah, blah, blah. And the other person can look at me straight in the eye, and I can tell by their body language they understand.
Right.
So now my job in delegation is to make sure I remove all the obstacles in their way, make sure that they're capable of doing their job, and knowing that by a dialogue with this person on a regular basis. And each person that I've delegated to. So my job as a leader is discussion, support. It's those type of things, bringing the group together.
So when you delegate, you take it off of your brain plate, put it on theirs, and that leaves enough room for you to I don't know, do you put it on a list or do you keep it in your head? Okay, I have to follow up. I have to do this or that. Or do you just have, again, on your list that this is what happened?
Well, I think it's part of it's intuitive. I mean, once you get into once you get into really knowing your system and owning your system, stuff's just intuitive to you. I mean, I'm walking around the office, I'm talking to people, I'm seeing what's going on. Body language is critical. You can tell if people are having no problem or they're struggling, those type of things. But that list is there. It might be on Tuesday. Here on Tuesday, here's the three people I've got to talk to.
Okay. But it's definitely off of the brain plate.
I think the whole point is to get everything off the brain plate. What we're talking about are what are all these pieces. It's a list. It's delegation. It's what you eat. It's all of these things to consider when you want to open up your brain, clear off your brain plate, and enable your brain to process information much easier.
Right. Okay.
And another thing is, you know, no matter how skillful you are or how smart you are, if you don't have any time to do anything, you can't do anything. Right. So finding time. So it's great to say, you know, I've got 100 emails to read today and I spend, you know, 8 hours scouring those emails and making sure I didn't miss anything, but nothing else gets done.
Right.
Well, that's just not a good use of your time. So in some way, somehow, you have to figure how to, you know, be more productive when it comes to emails, when it comes to meetings, comes to phone calls, comes to how much time you're going to sit around the, you know, water cooler talking. You got to figure all those things out because you need to make sure that you have enough time in your day to get things done. Because if you don't, then the stress level increases and the stress now bogs down that brain's plate.
What about teamwork? How does that work into it?
Well, I think that's all about delegation, right? I think that
okay.
we, as a team, but delegation is, I mean, when you're with a team, I mean, you're operating as a team, which everybody is sharing accountabilities, everybody is sharing tasks, everybody's holding everybody else accountable. So it's all wrapped up inside of that. But for me, I would say that was one of the most critical pieces. I mean, my teams usually performed at a very high level because they were given the tools and the wherewithal to do so. And when they're flying, my brain is being used very differently. It's not about accomplishing these multiple tasks. It's about supporting people. It's about, you know, and that's where when I had with more flexibility and more time on my hands, I could be more creative, more supportive, more, you know, involved in the team. So those are the sorts of things that really helped me to, you know, something.
Clear off your brain, please.
Right.
So, yeah, because I'm just thinking again, going back to delegation, teamwork, if your team's got everything that was in your brain now is split up in their brains, your brain plate's is clean enough to have like the overall, right? You're not bogged down by every little task that you were thinking about before. Is that right? Am I getting that right?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And the same thing that then I would offer that each member of the team would operate in the same way. That every member of the team, if they want, regardless if you're neurodiverse or not, I mean, being organized, I mean, I think it's pretty straightforward. Everybody needs to be organized. I think that simplicity is easier than complexity. Come on. It's all pretty simple stuff. So if you can achieve that, especially when you're atypical neurodiverse, it helps you function at a greater level and almost allows you to get to the skills that make you what you are. Because if you're bogged down in tasks, you can never be creative. You can never get out of the box. You just don't have time for any of those things. So clearing off your brain plate is critical to allowing you to be everything you can be, so to speak.
So did you take your staff, your teams through this process of clearing their brain?
No, I can't say I have. I can't say that, you know, when I was diagnosed with that, I understood it. And I work with it, and I've developed systems to help myself. But I don't think until we started the book, or I started the book, and we started the podcast, that I've really thought about the brain's plate. And it really didn't realize that how important the whole concept was until we started doing presentation. Everybody's going, "Hey, hold that brain's plate thing. I've done that. I understand that. That's been my issue too." And everybody's coming out of the woodwork talking about this. So now it's kind of, you know, trying to put it all together and say, "Hey, this is a critical piece to understanding that."
So you never had this discussion with your teams then?
Not like that. But remember, okay, intuitively inside of me, I know this. So you could almost say done is better than perfect, which we've talked endlessly about. The structure of how I operated is all the same, because that was about breaking things down into little pieces, everyone being accountable, everybody knowing what they need to do, having fun. All those things relieve stress. So in a sense, and even unknown to me, my operational philosophy was all about that.
Yeah, but I can see that you could delegate to me, and now I have it on my brain's plate, and now I can't function properly because my brain plate is full. So,
well, I didn't want to tell you that's really why I wanted to have this podcast, is to really help you with your brain's plate. So, you know, surprise, there you go, Judy. So, you know, I've been seeing that, and I didn't know how to tell you about the brain's plate and how you could help yourself, but because you get a little sensitive at times and stuff. So here you go. I'm glad you brought my, you just reeling you in, put that line out. I'm just reeling you in here. Perfect. God love you.
All right. I give up. So basically, you left your staff to figure it out on their own.
No. That's not what I said at all. I said that although we never talked about that concept, because in those words, I think everything I did and the way I operated was all about that. Done it better than perfect wasn't about me operating a certain way. It was about how the team's operators, how every individual on that team operated. And I think encompassed all of that. We were very clear on what everybody needed to do. You know, we were well organized, well structured. Everyone was accountable. So it was all of that encompassed in that without using the words brain's plate.
Yeah, but I'm devil's advocate on this, because I can just see if I was delegated all that, and even though we went through it all, I would still have a lot of shit on my brain's plate. But if...
Yeah, but see, but you didn't live my life and you weren't on my teams. You lived yours with the way you did things. And my essence was about simplicity.
Yeah, I guess, you know, because I was a list maker too, so I guess I was doing it without knowing that I was doing it. Because I would have a project and I would make lists of things that had to be done with the project and then delegate that list. And then my brain was clear because they have it. Right?
Yeah. I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't speak to that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it sounds right. I don't think having a list is necessarily the be all and end all to clearing up your brain's plate. I think that's a critical piece. But just, you know, simplifying and talking and many things impact that brain's plate. And the whole point of a conversation that we're having today, and hopefully the people that are listening, is to just understand that. Understand you where you can say, yeah, I can relate to that. That happens to me. And then start to think about, how do I free up space in my brain's plate? What are the things that I can do as an individual, in my circumstances to free up space in my brain's plate? And you'll know intuitively, will a list help me? Well, if I'm out drinking every night and I'm, you know, smoking dope at home every night, well, it's going to impact that. But I mean, live your life, do what you want to do. But now you know.
Right. Yeah. I think it's a good thing to, I think it's a really good tool to have, particularly for atypicals.
Right. And get focused on your business and on yourself and don't be worrying about what everyone else is thinking and doing. And maybe that should have been a bigger part of this podcast because, you know, actually we're going to talk about this in a future podcast, is getting bogged down with what everyone else thinks. So that's that.
I think that's a wrap.
Okay. Well, I think that was good, Jude. I think it's an important one. I mean, it's kind of simple in a way and it's complex in a way and it, you know, it's, I think, but it's something that obviously from the comments we're getting impacts a lot of people. So now you need to take responsibility for yourselves, find ways to help you reduce, to get things off your brain's plate, to free up room so that you can be at the best you can be.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Well, it sounds good. So adios.
Adios there, Judy. Thanks for joining us today and listening to another episode of The Atypical Leader. If you haven't already done so, like, share, and follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
By liking and sharing, you will help other atypicals find all of us, so we can all start to leverage the stories, strategies, and strengths of what make us all unique. Keep listening and remember, take charge and push away those self-doubts. Leverage what we're talking about. Be confident in who you are and proud of what makes you unique.
So join me, Rick Brennan, and my co-host Judy Sims on the next episode of The Atypical Leader. And don't forget to get your copy of the book, The Atypical Leader, Harnessing the Power of Neurodiversity on Amazon. To learn more about us, leadership, and neurodiversity, please go to our website, atypicalleader.com.
Thanks for listening. Let's do it again next week.